You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Everybody, this is The Conversation. My name is Adam. I am so excited that you are tuning in today. I'm giving you an air fist bump, an air hug. I hope this finds you well. Folks, make sure to take care of yourself. Yes, physically, take care of yourself during COVID. We're talking a whole bunch about that. Make sure to do that. But something we're not talking about nearly enough, make sure to take care of yourself emotionally and spiritually as well. Right now, as a pastor, I'm getting emails and text messages like crazy, people saying, hey, I'm struggling with depression, with anxiety. Hey, my marriage is falling apart. Hey, I'm struggling with hopelessness. Hey, I'm struggling with an addiction of some kind. Make sure to take care of yourself emotionally and spiritually as well. Maybe even right now, to sit still for 10 minutes even, or 5 minutes, or even 1 minute, and just sit with God. Give him your cares and your worries. He can handle them so much better than you can. Maybe open up his word and just read a psalm and read it really as a prayer to God. Make sure to take care of yourself emotionally and spiritually. Call a friend of yours, call a girlfriend, call a boyfriend, and just say, hey, here's some things. Would you pray for me right now? Because I'm struggling. Other people are struggling too. You're not the only one. Take care of yourselves emotionally and spiritually. In today's episode, you are in for a treat. I sat down once again. He's been on the podcast before. I sat down again with Hal Donaldson. Hal Donaldson is an amazing person. I do not take it lightly having a guest on twice. I lunged at the opportunity to connect with Hal again. Hal started and he leads an organization called Convoy of Hope. During COVID, listen to this, Convoy of Hope has provided over 115 million meals for people. That is insane. But I look up to Hal really as a mentor, even though I don't think he would say he's my mentor. I've officially made him my mentor. And so I approached this conversation with a list of questions that I personally wanted to ask him about how to handle work with family, with home life. Again, he's feeding all these millions of people. How does he do this? I also talked about focus, like what lane should a person run in? If you're like me, you're trying to figure out, God, what am I supposed to do with the rest of my life? He also talked about the importance of getting away and really having that time with God and staying healthy. No matter how crazy you are, how busy you are, that time is an absolute necessity. And so if you are a leader of any kind, you will want to hear this conversation. I do not say that lightly. You do not want to miss. Listen to the entire thing. As always, sit back and relax and enjoy this conversation. Well, I'm here with someone that I have great respect for. Anytime that I've had the chance to be in his presence, it only makes me respect him more. A founder, leader of one of the most amazing organizations on the planet, Convoy of Hope. Hal, just want to welcome you again to the conversation.
Adam, thank you for having me back. I mean, I thought I blew it the first time, so I feel really honored that you invite me to come back. Good to be with you.
It's a gift. It's kind of crazy timing. Because our interview was months ago, over a year ago. And I just recently, this 2 days ago, had a pastor tweet me on Twitter that said, hey, just listen to your episode with Hal. And he had no idea who you were. He's like, hey, I just listened to that. And I plan on talking about your guys' conversation in my sermon this Sunday. So it's kind of the timing of it's pretty amazing. But how Convoy is doing, I want to talk about Convoy first. Your goal at the start of the pandemic was to provide 10 million meals for people in need. And I have to say, just from the get-go, that's a fairly lofty goal. Right. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know many places that set a goal of 10 million of anything. And yet, if you want to kind of share, if you'd first talk about where, how do you even set a goal like that? Yeah. And what has happened since setting the goal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whenever there's a tragedy like COVID-19, people are dying, people are in the hospital. I mean, you have a choice as a leader. You can circle the wagons and go into protective mode, or you can reach out, you know. And so Convoy has always been one that's not trying to play it safe. We've always been risk takers. And so we said, okay, let's just go for it. And, you know, for me, I thought 10 million meals was going for it. And what was happening, Adam, is that at the distribution points, okay, we had over 2,000 churches that immediately said, we'll jump in with you and we'll do an outreach. We'll turn our parking lot into a distribution center. The lines of cars were like 2 miles long. And so we just said, okay, we can't stop. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of need. We're praying for thousands of people. And so we just said, okay, let's just keep going. As long as God provides the resources, the food, we'll just keep going. And people would ask me along the way, they said, well, how much is this costing? And Adam, I said, it's costing millions of dollars. I can't tell you how many, but it's costing millions. And they would say, well, how are you going to pay for that? And I said, well, I've never worried about that. In these 26 years, I've never worried about how we're going to pay for it. I just do what Jesus has called us to do and trust him to provide. And so, yeah, we're now well over 100 million meals and 10 times where we've started. And that's counting every week. I mean, it's just, I don't know what the real number is now. It's probably 120, 130 million. I don't know where it will end, but, you know, we'll just keep going as long as God continues to provide the resources.
Yeah, that's just almost impossible to wrap your mind around. I mean, even just hearing it, the number, it's easy to minimize it in your, even in your head, but it's just, it's got to be just hard to even imagine, specifically looking back when you first started Convoy. I mean, do you have moments where you're just like, what is happening? And share that.
Yeah, well, you know the story. I mean, we started with a pickup truck, you know, 26 years ago, and to see where God has taken it with a fleet of trucks and warehouses around the world. It is staggering. But here's I think the thing that's important. You can't take credit for it. I believe that God decided to birth Convoy of Hope. He was looking for someone who would try. I raised my hand and I said, hey, I'm the last guy who should be leading a logistics company or a ministry, but hey, I'll give it a try. And you just never know where it will go.
Yeah, that's amazing. Even in Sioux Falls, so I don't know if this is weird to hear or not. So I was planning, I had talked with Convoy about sending a semi here. It's credit to the local churches and not even churches, businesses as well in Sioux Falls. I reached out to the main pastor that's been heading it up and I said, hey, would it be a benefit right now to have this? And he actually said, right now we're actually okay. And I said, well, if that changes, let me know, because I have a group of people who would be willing to cover a semi with Convoy. And it was so cool to see other ministries stepping up to the table in that moment. Hal, if you want to share, even so, like Hurricane Laura, West Coast wildfires, just to share again, so for someone who's new to Convoy, share what you're doing there. Then maybe share a few things of, hey, if I'm a pastor or if I'm a Christian, I'm not a pastor, I'm a Christian, how could I be a part of what Convoy is doing?
Yeah, beautiful, Adam. Thanks for the question. And whatever Convoy of Hope does it through a local church.
Yeah.
Okay, that's who we are. That's really what sets us apart from other humanitarian groups. We work through local churches because we believe that our job is to elevate the local church and to lift up the name of Jesus. And so even in terms of Hurricane Laura and now Hurricane Sally and the wildfires in California, you know, we're resourcing local churches that are turning their parking lots into distribution centers. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And we provide training to the churches. So, you know, a lot of times the church has never done this before. And so we're also providing the training that they need, but also the resources to get the job done. And that elevates the local church. People all the time, they tell me what the church is supposed to be. And they're critical of the church because they say, well, the church isn't really doing what it says it's about. And so that's what Convoy does. We enable the church to do what the church is supposed to do and to represent Jesus in some pretty dangerous situations.
That's so good. So if I'm a pastor, let's say I have a pastor church of 250 people, am I able to be a part of what Convoy is doing?
Absolutely. And here's the exciting thing is that, you know, when you are bringing in a semi-truck filled with food, water, and emergency supplies, a local church, a smaller church may say, well, there's no way we can handle 40,000 pounds.
Yep.
That's okay. We'll drop off, you know, several pallets for you to do what you can do in your neighborhood. And we do that quite often. So in response to Hurricane Laura, for example, there's probably 20, 25 communities that we're serving right now that have been affected. Not all those are mega churches. Some of them are small churches, but who have expressed a willingness to jump in and just serve their neighborhood. So come to our website or call the office and they'll put you in touch with someone that's really managing that particular disaster. Same with California fires. I mean, California, Oregon, and Washington, we have been deploying truckloads of water in particular and food to those areas because, you know, not only churches have been destroyed, homes have been destroyed, people's lives have been disrupted. So however, wherever we can lift up the name of Jesus and lift up the church, we want to do that.
That's amazing. And I'm not receiving any benefit for saying this whatsoever. I cannot speak more highly of Convoy.
Thank you.
And from Hal to the entire team, anybody that I've come in contact with, the organization, their integrity financially, I mean, on every level, it's absolutely amazing. Every time I'm around it, it makes me fall in love with Convoy and more importantly with the Lord more every single time. Hal, I want to ask just a couple kind of shifting away. First, one of the things I just respect about you so much is just that willingness to load up the back of your truck and start giving out meals and food to the person who it wants purpose in their life and wants to be used by God. How do you begin to live in that way? I mean, what does that look like? Cause I mean, daily I just talked with a man this morning who said, I don't have purpose in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling with, I want to be used by God. I don't know how.
I think it begins with, a theological purpose, a foundation, you know, and I think I may have shared this with you before, but God had to change my heart before he could do a work through my hands. And I had to really understand my calling and my purpose as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I set out to read a chapter of the Gospels every day for a year. And I ended up doing it for a year and a half. And so every day, Adam, I'd wake up, I'd read another chapter about Jesus. And I began to see how my life was not measuring up to his, and I wasn't fulfilling what he was asking believers to do. And that changed me. It just changed me. So that's where I would begin. Keep reading about Jesus and make it a discipline. Do it every day and watch how Jesus changes you. The second thing I want to do is, and this is a horrible plug or place for a plug, I want to encourage you to pick up Adam's book, Love Has a Name, by Adam Weber. I'm just a couple chapters in and already this is moving. It's inspiring. So I want to encourage all your listeners to make sure you pick up the book. But I think, you know, it does begin with allowing Jesus to change us. And then, you know, I think the second thing you do is you make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to do the next kind thing he puts in front of you. And that's what I did. That pickup truck was just, I felt an impulse to do something. And I had no idea where it would go, but I knew that Jesus was asking me to do the next kind thing. And he wants to help the hurting. He wants to bless people more than I do. He's just looking for people who are willing to say, yes, I'll try.
While you did the pickup truck, occupation-wise, what were you at that point?
Yeah, I was writing books. You know, I share with you before that, you know, I have a journalism and a Bible degree. And so I was making my living writing books. And that's what took me to meet Mother Teresa in Calcutta, India, which that experience, that conversation was life-changing. I was really traveling all over the United States, around the world. I was seeing a lot of poverty, a lot of need. And God used those experiences to really change me. But yeah, I was using my gift of writing to just to bless people, and God had other things in mind.
Well, and I think that's such a good reminder, because not all of us have been like trained in how to provide relief to people around the world. And we think we got to be a certain occupation for God to use us. And what I love about your story, I mean, that was really totally random to your occupation at the time, just totally. To randomly put things in your back of your truck and go for it.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
I want to take a break in our show today to tell you about an online parenting event that you will not want to miss. We are living in strange, difficult days, and I think it's safe to say that parents feel the pressure to lead in their homes especially well right now. And on that note, I want to encourage you to go and sign up today for the Perfectly Imperfect Christian Parenting event that will be held on October 23rd and 24th. This completely digital event was designed to give parents the practical and spiritual help needed to grow as leaders in the home. With more than 40 available talks, you'll hear from amazing speakers like Aaron and Jamie Ivey, Mark Batterson, Jonathan Pitts, the Duck Dynasty Robertson family, and many, many more. Tickets are only $49. So we invite you or a parent that you love to register today for this digital parenting event. Visit perfectlyimperfect.org to sign up today. Now, let's get back to today's show.
I just have a couple of leadership questions, actually. Right now, Convoy is experiencing you just told me you've never worked more ministry-wise and in a different field. Some places are experiencing that. I know even pastors are working a lot of hours but not seeing results and impact. This is kind of a strange question to ask, but do you have any words of advice for the person who's in a season of not seeing numerical growth? And what to do leadership wise in this season, and maybe specifically if there was one thing I could tell pastors in the church right now, I would tell them this, because even numerically for us, we're 55% attendance wise where we were a year ago.
Right.
And just that's discouraging, even though it's actually an encouraging number comparative. Again, that's kind of a messy question, but anything that comes to your sense there.
Yeah, no, I think you're asking the right question for all of us. I think Jesus isn't looking for talent. He's not looking for numbers. He's looking for the right heart. And, you know, we think we have to work harder. And what I think Jesus is saying, no, just come closer. Come closer to me. Become more like me. And you know, that's what he's looking for. That's what he's blessing, is when the heart is in the right place. And, we get caught up in numbers. We get caught up in success. But the truth is, success is more dangerous than failure. It's more dangerous. And because what happens is we begin to become full of ourselves. And rather than leading with humility and leading with a heart that's pure, we start leading with wanting to achieve. And wanting to receive credit and the glory. And, so that would be my first word as a friend to the people listening. I would just say, examine your heart. Make sure your heart's in the right place. You get that done, watch out. There's no ceiling on what God can do through you.
That's so good. Is there a specific word for the church in this time? Like as far as even a word, a challenge, maybe like, hey, this is okay. It's 2020. There's COVID. For me, the numbers I've been concerned about is everything from suicide, addiction, depression, any word to like challenge the church, kind of the global church of like, what is our job right now? Like, what should we be doing? Because if we are discouraged as the church, any words there, Hal?
Yeah, I do. I think this is a season of preparation for us and as a church. And I think, you know, we're caught up in what it is that we do. I mean, that's what I'm being asked all the time. Well, what should we do? And I kind of flip it and I ask, well, the first question is, who are you? Who are you? You know, are your hearts in the right place where God can do something amazing? Because we're going to get on the other side of this pandemic pretty soon. I do believe that.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 months, you know, could be a year that we're on the other side of it. But at some point, we're going to be on the other side of it. Have we used this season as preparation for what God is going to do? Have we used it properly? When this pandemic started, I jumped on virtual and I talked to our team. And I just said, we don't know how long this is going to last, but let's prepare our hearts for post-pandemic.
Yeah.
And that would be my word for the local church. Don't focus so much on what. Focus on who you are and get your hearts in the right place.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. It's almost hard to believe that there's even going to be a post that, you know, like even for me as a pastor, I kept prepping of like, okay, once we have physical services, then normal is coming back.
Right.
once fall gets here, then some resemblance of normal. But it's almost hard. There won't be probably a normal. It'll be different. But the post even part of it is hard to kind of grasp. Again, these are kind of random questions. I was just like, I wrote down yesterday, what are the questions that I would want to personally ask Hal? And so that's where these are coming from. I hope they benefit the people that will listen in as well. For me, if you'd want to share one of your greatest failures, leadership wise, human wise, and what did you learn from that? Because you have such humility to you, but there's also this sense in me, and I know it's not true, of like, has Hal ever failed because he's so wonderful? If you want to share about a failure and what you learned through
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. My biggest failures have been when when the ministry has grown so rapidly, Adam, and you have people coming from all different directions that are wanting to be a part of it because they see it as something that's really making a difference in the world. And we thank God for that. Give him the glory. But what happens is when you're a leader, it's easy to fall in love with talent and charisma. And you begin to welcome people into the family. You hire people who have a particular talent or, you know, personality, and you minimize chemistry and character. And I've certainly done that. At times I've been attracted, enticed by, you know, talent. And what that does, it leads to disunity. It leads to ineffectiveness. And, you know, I think that's one of the things I've learned over the years is when someone is coming knocking on your door, take a step back and really pray about it. You know, just pray and seek the Lord. And quite honestly, I'm having to do that now with about 10 or 12 people. And I don't even hire people. I'm not involved in the HR part of it.
Yeah,
our vice presidents do the hiring, but. You know, it does land on my desk. Hey, we want to hire this person. And I think that's probably the biggest mistake I've made is trusting the wrong people.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Kind of a similar question. What do you know now leadership-wise that you wish you would have known when you were 38, which is where I'm at?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're just like, man, if I could have told you this, Hal, 38 version of you.
Yeah. When I was 38, I was in a hurry. I was in a real hurry. You know, I thought that if I just worked harder, if I worked longer hours, if I was more innovative, that things would happen. And the truth was, I really didn't trust God to grow things. I thought more of it depended on me than it did him. I wish I'd understood at the age of 38 that if my heart was in a better place, then he would have entrusted more to me, because I do believe he entrusts to those he trusts. And I just wish I had been the kind of person that he could have trusted more at the age of 38. And no telling where we'd be today as a ministry. Yeah, that'd probably be the biggest thing, Adam.
Yeah.
Trusting the Lord to do what he wanted to do and to get my heart in the right place.
So, oh, you just, you're almost making me want to have a good cry because you're preaching at me. So how do you counterbalance that with now even being larger than you were when you were 38 years old, Convoy being larger? How do you do that then?
Well, I think one of the things, this may not be what you're looking for, but I think it's important to say it, is that, you know, when I was younger, I would take every bit of criticism personally. I would allow criticism to affect my next steps. I would, but I would also listen to the accolades. And I think what happened is that as I got into my 40s, and, you know, Convoy of Hope was really starting to take off, I began to realize that my job is not to listen to the accolades, and it's really not to listen to the criticism. I need to let that roll off my back. You know, when there are valid points that people are making, certainly take them to heart and to act on them, but don't personalize everything, because, you know, what that does is it limits what God can do through you. You're allowing other people to determine, you know, what you do and who you are, and that's not what God intended. The Holy Spirit is our leader. He's our guide. And if we're listening to people, it's pretty difficult to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So those are some things that I probably learned along the way is don't take it personally.
Yeah. Hell, the last question I have for you, this has been such a gift. It was just a delight to be able to talk about Convoy and then get these nuggets of wisdom from you. How have you known what to focus in on as far as even Convoy, but even personal life, when there's, I feel like there's more options. Yeah. And it's just like, how do I know what I'm supposed to focus in on? Like, is there any discernment? Am I supposed to switch jobs? Am I supposed to do this? Has there been something for you that's helped just know what am I supposed to be doing? That's a very broad question.
No, it's a great question. It's an important question for any leader, any believer. Years ago, I was a practicing journalist, and I was asked to interview Ted Turner, the founder of CNN. And I asked him this question. I said, Mr. Turner, you know, what's the secret to your success? And his response was leisure time, leisure time. And, you know, as a young person, I didn't get that. you know, now that I'm older, I do get it. I think it's, but I think what happens is that we have, even in my case, even now, I mean, I have been so active over the last 6 months, responding to COVID-19 and other disasters. And, you know, we feed 300,000 children a day around the world, and thousands of mothers, and, you know, jobs training programs, and training thousands of farmers to increase their yields. I mean, we have a lot going on. But what happens is that you can get on a treadmill, if you will, of activity, a treadmill of activity, but it's, what you don't realize is that you are so busy that you're not taking time to really hear God's voice. I'll just say this. After this podcast, my wife and I are hopping in the car for 3 days to get away and to silence everything. No phones, no computers, no television, no movies. You know, we're just going to try and be quiet for 3 days to hear from God. And, you know, you can't help, but if you read scripture, you find that Jesus understood the value of quiet. And I would just say to your listeners, if you're trying to hear from God about your future, your church, your business, your finances, your family, et cetera, don't be afraid to steal away for several days and be quiet and listen for his voice. He'll show you what to do. Adam, he's done that for me so many times. And he'll do that for every one of us if we have the courage to stop and not to feel guilty for stopping and to hear his voice.
I think that's the best place to end. And I give thanks to you just for who you are and the blessing you've been in my life on a personal level. The impact that you've had on millions of people. Even just this time was it was divine timing for me, just that last word specifically. I mean, if someone like yourself and the impact you're having is shutting off for a few days, that means basically any of us can do the same. Go search. If you're new to Convoy, please go, just take some time, research, learn more about it, reach out to one of the staff people there. I've been so impressed. I mean, anytime I've reached out, I feel like I have answers before I push send on my email. It comes back so quick. Hal, just a huge honor. Follow Hal if you're not on social. I give thanks for you, Hal. Thanks again for this ride today. Yes.
Hey, thanks for the friendship and just letting people know about Convoy of Hope. We said from the beginning we weren't interested in building a ministry. We really were more interested in birthing a movement and being a part of a movement. So, and I know your book and you as a person, you're all about representing Jesus and meeting physical and spiritual needs. So thank you from us. We're grateful.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.